Okay, so the next milah is called Yishuv. What does Yishuv mean? What does Yishuv mean? Rashi says to Pshatim. Yishuv, what does it mean? The Torah's nickname is the Yishuv. What does Yishuv mean? You can see. What does Yishuv mean? So Rashi says to Pshatim. Mefarsh Rashi, Yarba v'yeshiva, the Marba v'yeshiva, Marba chachol. It has to do with being Marba in a yeshiva. What is a yeshiva? And why is a yeshiva called a yeshiva? Let it be called a base medrash, something like that. And that's a concept that there's something called a yeshiva. We already learned from the Avos HaKadoshim. Avram, Zaken Yoshe B'Shiva Hava. So what's this inyan of a yeshiva? So, the answer is that the yeshiva is the place that a person, someone just learned, a yeshiva is a place where a person is misyashiv, he's living there. You're living in a place. You have to be having a place that this is your place. Rav Hutner brings down that Rav Chaim Volozhiner, when he started the yeshiva, he said that the people that are learning in this yeshiva, what should we call them? So what would you call them? Talmidei yeshiva. You call them Talmidei yeshiva. What did Rav Chaim Volozhiner call them? Bnei yeshiva. That's the right answer. So he Rav Chaim Volozhiner to life, apparently. So Bnei HaYeshiva, why are they called Bnei HaYeshiva? Why are they learning it? So he was Masber Rav Hutner. He says that, he says, what's the difference between a mother who nurses a child versus a chef who cooks for the child? What's the difference? They're both giving the child food. Right, but making sure the child is what to eat. The answer is that the mother is giving from her flesh and blood, and the child is getting the flesh and blood of the parent. And the chef is providing nutrition, but he's not giving his own flesh and blood. So he says, you come to learn yeshiva, what you're getting is you're getting the flesh and blood of the Rebbe, the flesh and blood of the Messiah. Everything's going, you and the thing are becoming one. So yeshiva means a person's misyashiv in a place, he's learning in a place, he's sitting in a place, he's living in a place, he's becoming part of the place. That the impact of the place is noticeable on the person. It was very, very odd yesterday. There was a Talmud of Philadelphia we met yesterday. We were interviewed in the light. There was one of the United that had learned in Philadelphia yeshiva. And I thought it was only me. And I turned around, Rabbi Kowalski and Rabbi Singer were there. And I turned around and said, who does this guy remind you of? And everyone says, he speaks and talks like Shmuel Kamenetsky. The guy had everything, the tone of voice, smile, the way he spoke, the way he was a carbon copy. So that's a Talmud, right? He picked up. So that's the first thing. When we say about yeshiva, is that there's something called being part of a yeshiva, being part of a situation where, the next point though, that Rashi says that Torah's nickness, and this is, I think, one of the biggest, the following thing is probably the biggest challenge of today's generation, if I may say so myself. I'm a big expert over here. What's the biggest challenge in today's generation? But I would say is Rashi's second pshat. The Torah only works if you have yishuv, and Rashi says it means yishuv hadas. Yishuv hadas. A person is, how would you translate that? He's able to focus. His yishuv hadas is able to focus. What's the biggest stira to being able to focus? Believe it or not, the biggest stira to being able to focus is not the ability to focus. It's nothing to do with your ability to focus. A person can be very schwach in their ability to focus, and they can focus. And the problem with our focus is the reboy of distractions, the amount of distractions that we allow to bring into our lives. So a person can think about the following scenario. When's the last time? After I learned this, I started doing it. Even myself, I don't have my phone with me in the basement. Just, now, without my phone, people find me and I get plenty distracted. But try for 5 minutes. If you're reading a sefer, whatever the sefer, it's Gemara, it's a Chumash, it's Rashi, it's an English book, it's a halacha sefer, it's a sefer on the parasha, whatever it is. 5 minutes is a long time. 3 minutes. 3 minutes reading straight without lifting your head out of the sefer, without picking up your head, picking up your eyes. Just reading without, hey, who's walking in, who's coming in, who's there, who's next, what's going on, how are you doing, you know, and of course, the good old phone, you know, you're the trusty sidekick. With 3 minutes. If you do that, you'll realize that those 3 minutes were the best learning you've done in a while. Right? A person, for Torah to come in, needs to have yeshiva das. They need to be, yeshiva das means to be settled, menuchas anet, but it means focus. It means the ability to not get distracted. And when a person is not distracted, that means they're all in. They're all in. So you could actually, how often is it, you know, a person says, I don't remember the daf yomi. I don't care. It's one thing, you can't remember the daf yomi a week later. Do you remember the daf yomi when you closed the Gemara and read up? Do you remember what you learned? That's the bigger question. Meaning, can a person, we're not even focused enough that we forget to remember it long term. How much of an impact did it make on the person in the first place? You can only remember it if you knew it in the first place. So a person, look, I can't remember things. In a year from now, you're going to ask me, what did I learn? What does it say in Yivamas, you know, on Soit of Daf Lamed Hey? Remember. Okay. Fine. I don't know if you're going to be held accountable in Shemayim at this stage in your life for that. But you may be held accountable if you spent, you tried to learn it, and then I ask you 5 minutes later, what was it? You're like, you have no idea. Right? Because you weren't really focused on it. So there's no way that Torah can come now. Rabbi Tzio Solomon said that the challenge of the cell phone is a mafurish of Gemara. So I remember hearing the shmuz from him, not from the sefer, from him. I heard the shmuz. The Gemara said that Rav Safra, I wonder if he brings it even, that Rav Safra had a Talmud, and he was trying to teach him, and it said there that the Talmud wasn't getting it. And the Gemara says, why wasn't the Talmud getting it? Because that day he had made an appointment with someone and he was waiting for the person to come in, and at any moment the person could have come in. So what do you see from the Gemara? That because the person was waiting, any minute something could happen, maybe I'll be called out at any minute, they couldn't concentrate. So he said, this is the phone, you're sitting with a phone trying to learn. It could ring at any moment and your hand is ready to go, you know, positioned. That so even if it didn't ring the whole shiur, you were distracted the whole time. So that's what the Gemara is telling you. The Gemara is telling you a person's waiting for something, a person's on the lookout for something. They're not there. They've lost their concentration at that point. So I would think that the greatest kinyan of Torah is this, and I think it's time in the shiur that we make a little bit of a suggestion coming up to, we're already halfway through Sfiras HaOmer. We got to make a little suggestion, Lamaisa, Halacha Lamaisa, Kabbalah Lamaisa, something to do with this. And let it be that a person will say, if I sit down, if I have a Seder to learn for the first 10 minutes of the Seder, I'm committed to fully concentrating. I'm not going to touch the phone. I'm going to try the best I can to just focus on what I'm doing, not even look around, just focus for. And for sure, not to try not to get interrupted. And then if a person's all in, I think that they'll feel a greater connection to what they're doing. You know, so this is a Kabbalah that someone can do. And by the way, it's a skill that you have. You know, it's a skill. Someone told me now, they bought a Rosh Hashiva Rosh Hashiva, they bought him a new pair of glasses. Someone told me he learns with this Rosh Hashiva b'chavrusa. They bought him a new pair of glasses, but it's like a it's not even a, it's a trifle, what a trifocal. That's a progressive. And the only way it really works is you can't really look down. You have to actually put your head down to read, and when you pick your, and you have to pick your head up to look straight around. So you're constantly moving your head all over the place. You can't just move your eyes. So the Jewish said, I can't use these glasses because my whole life I've been training myself never to move my head. I don't move my head. I stay where I am and that's it. Now you're telling me to go, and I'm not doing this. But it's a certain training, you know, that a person has that they can stay focused on what they're doing. Okay, so, you know, I think this is something we could think about, maybe make a Kabbalah. I would suggest make a Kabbalah the first X amount of minutes of any sort of learning Seder that one has. But it doesn't matter what the Seder is, it doesn't matter what it's reading, what it's learning, what it's involved in. It's to try to be as focused as possible. And focus means they're focused on, not going to be distracted by phones, but even not phones, they're not going to be distracted by their own brain taking them from one place to the next. You know, they're going to try to stay focused. Now, let's see. I think that that could be a real good way. It's a very good Kabbalah entering into, you know, the weeks approaching Shavuos that can enhance our learning from what it says here. Okay? Just a piece of advice. It's I'm a Kabbalah myself as well. And then with Hashem, we will see how it goes. All right? Shkoyach, everyone. Have a good Shabbos.
Thank you. Shabbat shalom.
Shkoyach, Adam, we'll see you. Have a good Shabbos.
Bye-bye.
Yes.
You have your phone next to you?